Online Podcast 359. Hello, ladies and gentle whores of mine, welcome back to Online Podcast. Another Monday comes, and here I am I again, chatting with you in your ears, asking you, did you enjoy my pussy being rubbed the wrong way? No, what did I say? My vagina? rubbed my vagina the wrong way. So, I tweeted it. And a couple of co-workers of mine ask, hey, why didn't you put a link about, because I talked about how crazy the title of the show is, and by reading the title of the show would probably want to make you want to go check out what's going on. And of course, a couple of my friends, including one of my manager. One of them was my manager. And he sent a tweet back and said, hey, why no link? I said, you gotta work for those shit. You know, you gotta work that shit. And so he found it. Had a good laugh. So all good, all good. Anyway, I work with cool people. What can I say? So anyway, the comment that I got from last week's show was from JC asking me about the priest story, and I thought I've talked about it, but you know, it doesn't matter because I don't expect you guys to go back and listen to it, the old episodes that I talk about. So I'm gonna retell the story. So I had a of course he's not one of them, what, he's not the only one is what I'm trying to say. I had a crush on a priest when I was in probably my high school years. I was probably, what, 16, 17 years old. And there was a priest who is a mixture. He's a half Indian and half Chinese. His father is Indian, mother is Chinese. So the combination produced a very good-looking guy. And he was very young and studied, you know, went to the, what is it called? Not missionary, seminary, Catholic Church. Went to the cemetery and, I don't know that, okay, anyway. So, no, it has nothing to do with, molestation. I've never been molested by anyone. And yeah, I was an altar boy, however, but never was touched by anyone. Some priests I kind of wish they did touch me. That's awful. I'm just kidding. Don't take it seriously. Let me see if I can find something that I can employ. Just kidding. Anyway, so what happened was I had the crush on this particular priest. He's not the only one, but, you know, of course, you never tell anybody. How could you possibly tell anyone that you had a crush on the priest? And this guy is fairly young. I mean, he is probably at most 4-5 years older than me, maybe. And I won't tell you the name because he might still be in the priesthood. But the last I heard, though, he was trying to leave the priesthood. But I for what reason, I don't know. But let me just tell you the story that I know. So he's very young, and the youth group was very close with him. I always get very bothered by the fact that he's so hot, and I have a crush on him, and that the fact that he's a priest, or soon to become a priest. At that time, he was still a deacon. So, and I went to his, what is that thing called? The ceremony where they turn you into a priest. What is that called? Ordination. I did go to the ordination of his, and oh my gosh, of course, you know, I had a crush on him. He's very handsome. Soon after, though, he kind of went a downhill a little bit. But by the time that I knew him, he was very hot. And very young and hot. And so, you know, typically we're used to old, like, disgusting. I am just simply awful. Old and disgusting priest. Just, you know, just old guys. Nothing against old people, but, you know, that's no crush there. So, you never think about priests being hot and all that. But then, you know, this young priest came about, and so I was, you know, very attracted to him. But of course, you can't say anything to anybody, so I just kept it to myself until now. And I kept it to myself and always just... Have I ever fantasized about him? Do you really want to know if I ever fantasize about him? Maybe my sound effect would probably tell you whether or not I have fantasized about him. There you go. Let's just leave it at that. This is years later. Of course, you know, I push it all back in my head. It's like, you know, I'm not going to think about it. It's really going to be awful. It's sinful. And not the fact that I am attracted to men, but the fact that I'm attracted to a priest to be, and then a young priest, of course, that's like, oh my gosh, double whammy, right? And so I just sort of pushed that to the back of my head and never really thought too much about him. But I always remember him as the priest that I had a crush on. And I still remember, like, that's a time where you are discovering the fact that you get that sort of the flutter, you know, like your heart beats a little faster and you kind of get a little bit hot and uncomfortable to the point where I didn't know what it was, right? Because you were supposed to be having that feelings for women, and I've never had that feeling for women, and therefore I just thought that I was just, you know, a very nice gentleman and never had that sort of feelings for women, and I respect women in that way. And never really think about there's an option of being attracted to men that way. So, of course, slowly, but he is one of them that actually have that, you know, the hot heart-pounding sort of a reaction in some other classmates in high school and all that. But this particular priest has always stuck in my head as the hot priest. And fast forward... Do I have a sound effect for that? So you fast forward to today. Sorry. I have this, you know, thing set up. Just happened to be right in front of me and I gotta hit it. I just fast forward to today. And what happens now is I do a podcast, as you know, in Hokkien. Penang Hokkien, and it's called Penang Hokkien on PenangHokkien.com. It's Penang Hokkien podcast, and it's quite successful. And I have thousands of listeners, meaning anything over 2,000. I think I probably have at least 2,000 listeners, if not more, because not all of my listeners have internet access. So one person may be downloading that one file, burn multiple copies of CDs or DVDs, and then share it with other people that way. So I at least have 2,000, 2,500 listeners minimum. And so it's all good, all successful. And then I people write to me, and then there's this guy who write to me and who's also a guest on my show regularly and would talk about things, and he's gay. And we became friends. So we started talking even outside of my podcast. We actually do chat, even though I'm very busy. He always complained that I'm very busy. But he does open up, and we became friends. And so one day we do talk about our, you know, just our gay topics that he doesn't get to talk to other people much. So we talk about it. And one day he was telling me the story that he had, he's had this very interesting relationship with this particular priest. I was like, what? You had a relationship with a priest? And so I was like, do tell, do tell. It's too hot not to find out, right? Hot as in not hot and in sexual way, but too hot as in a scandal and a gossip, not to dig for it. So I went ahead and just say, tell me everything. So he started describing. He's like, he is, you know, he's half Indian. I was like, oh, shit. Go on. And he said, he's half Indian, half Chinese. I was like, oh, my God. I said, was he in Penang? And he said, yes. I said, oh, my God, I think I know which priest you're talking about. How many Indian, half Indian, half Chinese priests are there out there? So I said, is he so-and-so? And he screams, like, how do you know his name? I said, because that was the priest that I had a crush on when I was in high school. And so, put the two and two together, and we're talking about the same person. And then further into that story is that, yeah, it was very interesting and very kind of sort of in a very odd and funny and at the same time strange way how all these pieces joined together became this story of mine. So that essentially is what happened, JC. But what is sad about this particular story is that he has, of course, he's gay. He has tried to, I guess, I was told, and of course, without giving out the too much information about this particular listener of mine, he's constantly, this priest, constantly is in pain spiritually as well as just psychologically and spiritually both about this particular situation. He obviously has the need of, you know, he's attracted to men and he wants to be with men, but at the same time he's taken a vow of priesthood where he's not supposed to be. Not supposed to be with anybody romantically, men or women. Of course, now he's with the men. I don't know if this listener of mine is the only man that he's ever been with, or it's more than that, I don't know. And I don't even know if he's in the priesthood today. I don't remember talking to my mom about him, not telling her, my mom, about this particular incident. It just was brought up that, you know, this and this particular priest, how is he? And I think according to my mom, that at that time he was struggling with the church. There was a lot of politics happening. Also, besides this particular, you know, the whole being gay and being in the church, being a gay priest, blah, blah, blah. So there's more stuff than that. It's like political, the bishop and power fight over this and that. So my mom was telling me that he was actually thinking about leaving priesthood. So I'm not sure whether or not he's still in the church. He may. So I don't want to give out too much details. Ooh, dog barking. And so that struggle, can you imagine how painful, how destructive this for this particular person, this priest? How, if you think that coming out is difficult, if you think that being in the closet, being a person in general is difficult, think of the stress that this priest is going through. And of course, when he went into priesthood, when he went into the seminary, not cemetery, seminary, he was young. I mean, honestly, he's probably four or five years older than me. And if I was in my, teen, like 16 or 17, he would only be in his early 20s when he went into the priesthood. He's probably just like went right after school. So you haven't had time to explore. You haven't had time to really discover. And a lot of times, and this is me talking about how the church is really scapegoating. Is that what it's called? Scapegoat? Yeah. Try to put the blame on the issue of molestation and child abuse and sexual abuse of children on homosexuality itself. That may, you know, here's my thought about it. Of course, it's not true. I mean, they're saying that it's homosexuality that made priests molest children. It's not the case. But what happens is that my personal observation is that when you are struggling spiritually to be different, like me, when I was little, when I didn't know well enough about myself, I did not have any special feelings for women. So I would tell my mom when I was little, I remember, I was like, oh, I can't picture myself getting married. I would say like, oh, it's so gross getting married. You know, I would tell my mom that because I just don't see myself being with a woman. And then my mom remembered that, and then she took it at the early days that might mean that I have a special calling for being a priest. If I don't want to get married, what other options do I have? And that idea sort of kind of stuck in my head, and therefore considering priesthood was actually quite a possibility when I was going through my teenage years. And my parents encouraged me to do that and explore that. And the one thing that could not get past my own mind was how hot and bothered it would be if I have to live with a bunch of hot men. That was just like completely impossible for me because I just know that I'm going to be having a boner every day. Oh, now's a good time for this. Oh, not this. Not this. Yeah, I would totally be having a boner every day if I have to live with a bunch of young, hot men together all the time. So that was just kind of like put me, it's like, you know, yeah, I can consider priesthood, but I don't know. I didn't ever told anybody. I didn't tell my mom that that's the case, that I didn't want to be in the priesthood. But I also know deep down that I'm attracted to, if I were to do that, I'll be attracted to those men around me. And that is just simply not going to work. So, but however, the idea when I was growing up though, becoming a priest because I'm not attracted to women and I don't see marriage as a possibility for me, automatically, if you have a religious family background or yourself, we then would link to, you know, becoming a priest and that being a calling. So, would that have anything to do with child molestation? It's up to you to figure out. I think a lot of pedophilia has nothing to do with gay or straight, because you can molest a child whether or not the child is a boy or a girl. And I'm a gay person. I don't want, and I'm not attracted to boys, yeah? It's pedophilia is completely different from homosexuality, and a lot of you listening to this know this for a fact. And you know, especially if you're gay, I mean, you know that you're not attracted to little boys or little girls. It has anything to do with which gender you are attracted to. If you're attracted to kids, then you're attracted to kids. You are a pedophile, and that's it. And so that's clear, right? We know about that. And then let's go toy with the idea of you're in the church. Why is there more boys being molested than women? I have hair in my eyes. My theory is that because a priest is a man, and you are obviously children that you get to be with children, youth, altar boys. There's more altar boys than altar girls. In fact, there are some areas of parishes won't even allow female altar server. And so automatically you are, priests are then, who are pedophile, whether or not it's gay or not. Because I do know several gay priests, and they are open with their homosexuality. They just don't have any relationship. They know that they are naturally attracted to men, but they just don't have any relationship. And I do know quite a few. And they're not pedophile. And so my theory is that because the priest is a male figure, you are naturally going to feel parents or churchgoers, the congregation, would feel more comfortable leaving their sons, their altar boys, to be spending time with the priest, because we would think, yeah, it's a guy, and it would treat them like children. And of course, if that person happens to be a pedophile, then the opportunity is presented to them where, oh, we trust our children, especially our boys, to you. Now, female, you're not probably going to be seeing a lot of children just sending little girls to be spending an overnight session with a 45-year-old priest, male priest. You're not going to do that, because it's just naturally in your head that, you know, you don't trust an older man with younger girls. But what you are missing is, if you're a pedophile, what you do is you don't care. I mean, you just like children. It's the control and the power thing. And why are there more cases of male abuse cases? Because the congregation, the parents, trust their boys to be with a priest. And it's a lot easier to say, oh yeah, they're boys, so they can spend time with the priest, than the girls. And therefore, and then not to say that there are no cases, there are cases of female pedophilia cases, obviously. And that is also being pushed away because the church blame the whole issue of child molestation of the church, blame it just all to homosexuality, which we all know it's untrue. So from that story of my childhood, we led into this discussion about the church and the sexual abuse sexual abuse cases in the church, and led to me sharing what theory I thought. It's just the fact that, you know, that's just more opportunity for the priest to be with boys than girls. And pedophilia don't care. I mean, pedophiles don't care whether that child is, because this child is the thing. You know, young children is what's attracted to them. Does not matter what the gender of the children. That's my two cents. And yeah. So what's interesting today, besides talking about the church and all that crap, and that's part of the reason why I'm doubly hurt by the church. And you ask me, why are you still in the church? I'm barely hanging there, really. I go to my church because the people, my church, the priest and the people at my church are very open and very accepting of who I am. And I sing there. I do services for that particular church, that one church, because they're very open and they're very accepting, and we have a lot of gay congregation there. And that's a reason why I'm doing it. That's a reason why I'm going to it. And you ask me about, do I still believe in God? That's evolving. I cannot completely tell you that I do not believe in God, but in fact, there are times that I actually kind of do. But again, it's a process that is maturing for me. I grew up a Catholic, and so those thoughts are being put in my head. So we're at this point where I am at this point where I'm exploring. I still go to church, not regularly, but I still go to church. If you ask me, I still consider myself a Catholic. I still consider myself believing in God. But what is more important for me is becoming not just what I believe in, but what religion can actually lead me or guide me into doing. And for me, the biggest message for me has always been love. And if I really want to label what my religion is, I would tell you it's love. If you don't want anything in a Christianity or what, my religion is love. And I think if you can follow true love, you will never be far from whatever God that you might be believing in or worshiping. I don't believe in those powerful God that would punish you kind of God, because my head, that's just not. I mean, if you look at examples, if you look at we're talking about Christianity, if you look at how Jesus was portrayed in the writing of the Bible, how giving he is, and how much sacrifices he's willing to do for the people. That is that sort of Christianity that I like, not the punishing, I will kill all of you if you don't follow me, that sort of God. And you can say that I pick and choose. Well, that's the teaching that I got from my background of becoming who I am today. And yeah, I do pick and choose. But what's wrong with picking the best and throw out all the trashy part of religion? I have all the rights to do that. And the best thing that I see from a religion is that it guides somebody. And sometimes some people do need guidance to take a better path, not hurting people, love people, being generous and share. And I think all those are good things. It's just that I just, again, don't believe in the shoving down your throat part of religion. Like, if you don't follow us, then you are the wrong part and you will go to hell. I don't believe in that part. I believe in spreading love. I believe in taking care of people. I believe in being compassionate. Those are the things that was taught to me by my religious background. And I think it doesn't matter what you call it. At the end of the day, if you can do love, you can love, that's all that matters. Ah, I hit the wrong button. Anyway, so that's my two cents about religion. And I'm going to wrap it up now this week. Wow, we actually talk about religion. You can write me an email online@gmail.com. Send me your comments. You can also call me 920-920 iPhone 1. Or you can also, just like JC did, leave a message on the comment area on onlinepodcast.com. I also posted a brand new pink dot video on onlinepodcast.com. Go check that out. And until next week, don't forget to smile. Bye.